Shalom to all. Today's office moment seed to find out, and we are starting at the top line with the words Amar Rava. And today's office sponsor, Lilu Nishmas, Mars Merim Sarabas, Yaakov Maisha, her Neshama should have an Aliyah, and Lilu Nishmas, Rechmil Mardachab, and Rechayim, his Neshama should have an Aliyah. And we conclude with a case of Shlichas. Then we pick up with another Shlichas related case. Amar Rava says, Hani Beitlas and Yavi Zuzi Lechayel Mizma Lahu Midi, three people that gave money to one person to buy them all something, Vizavan Lechad Minayu, but he only bought it for one of the people and not for all three of them, Zavan Lekulu, it's really considered like he bought it for all of them because they all gave him money together to buy him something. However, Vilayaman, this is only said, El Deloit Sarukhasim Inish Inish Lchudei. If he didn't bind and seal the money of each guy individually, Aval Tsarukhasim Inish Inish Lchudei, but if he bound and sealed every single one's money individually, he had an envelope for Reuven, envelope for Shimon, and envelope for Levi, then Laman de Zavan Zavan, Laman de Loi Zavan Loi Zavan. For the one he bought it for, it's only for that guy, and it's not for the other people. And on to another case, Arapap Mishmei Durava, Hai Situmta, Kanya. This case of Situmta is a Kenyan. What is this? So we have store owners that would go to their wine suppliers, check out which barrels they wanted, and then put their own seal or stamp on those barrels and only take one home at a time. After they finished selling that one, they'd go back to the wine supplier, pick up another barrel, so on and so forth. So when they put that situmta on, that stamp or seal on the barrel, that's considered a kinyan. The Gemara's my helchsa in regards to what halachas is relevant. So Rav Chavio Amar, he answers l'makanya mamish. It means that he's actually kind of those barrels. Whereas Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say l'kabulei ala mishapara. It just means whoever backs out of the deal is going to get a mishapara for backing out, but not that there's an official kinyan. The helchsa the halacha is l'kabulei ala mishapara. That is really only in regards to mishapara, the one's not allowed to back out of the deal. But again, that's only morally, not halachically. Halachically, technically, they are allowed to back out. However, ba'asur nehigul mikni mamish, if it's a place where the minig is, actually acquire it, so then this is considered a real kenyan. And continue to explain the Mishnah, hayuhu tchilo kaitzrim, and this is going back to discuss psika al peris. Remember, we've had this multiple times. Advancing money for goods to be delivered at a later date is usur unless the seller actually has the product in stock or there's a steady supply and price of this item in the market. Now, this part of the Mishnah that we just read allowed one who harvested their grain early before everyone else to make this psika deal because yeshlai, he has the grain. And even though it's not available in the market yet and there isn't an official price, he still has it in stock, so it's okay to make a psika deal. Now, Rav clarifies, mechoser shtayim paisek, shalosh ein paisek. If the grain or the thing that we're talking about is not fully processed and it's lacking two more things to be done to it in order to be fully processed and deliverable to the customer, so then he can make this psika deal. However, if it's missing three things that need to be done, that's not considered like he has grain or this item in stock and he's not allowed to make this deal. However, Shmuel says, bidei adam afilu mea paisek. If the things that are lacking to be done to this item in order to deliver it are all bidei adam, the person himself is able to do it, so even if there's 100 things that need to be done in order to deliver it, not a problem. He can make this psika deal. Whereas bidei shamayim, if he has to rely on Hashem, for example, he needs it to rain or he needs it to grow or something like that, afilu achasein paisek, even if he's only lacking one thing, but he's waiting for Hashem to do it, so he's not going to make this psika deal because consider like he doesn't have the produce. And now we're going to ask a number of questions, mostly on Rav, but also on Shmuel. Tanan, our Mishnah said, paisekim al gadish, he's allowed to be paisek because he has a gadish. The seller has a pile of grain, even though it's not fully processed, he's still allowed to be paisek because he has the grain. Here's the question on Rav, v'amuchosar mishta b'cham l'miyavish, it's missing putting it out in the sun to dry out, ulimedish and thrashing it, umidra and winnowing it. And it's missing three things, not two things, so according to Rav, why does the Mishnah say that he's allowed to make this deal? And the answer is, kigun shata b'cham l'miyavish, we're talking about that you already put it out in the sun and it's dry, so it's only missing two things. Now we ask on Shmuel, ul shmuel d'arm b'day shemayim fil achasar ina paisek, according to Shmuel, if it's missing something b'day shemayim, he needs Hashem for this, even if it's only one thing, he's allowed to make this psika deal. V'amuchosar midra, it's missing winnowing, b'day shemayim he, this is b'day shemayim, winnowing requires a strong wind to blow, and he can't create that wind, he needs Hashem. So according to Shmuel, why is this deal allowed to be done? The answer is, after Renaf Asa, he could do it with a sieve, even though this might not be a l'chatchila way of winnowing, still he's able to do so, and it's considered b'day adam. We continue asking based off another case of the Mishnah, Baal Avich al-Navim, he's allowed to make this deal for a vat of grapes, and the final product that's going to be delivered is wine and not grapes. So the question is, on Mechusar Michmar, it's missing heating up, so when the grapes were put inside the vat, this huge kli, it wasn't fully ripe, but the more they spend time together, all pressed together in this kli, they heat up and then they ripen, so it's missing this stage, v'yulabim atzarta, and bring them to the press. The proper gear, so the next word is ulamedish, and for pressing, and ulamingid, we have to draw the wine and put it into kelim. So it's missing four things. The Gemara answers, no problem, ketan Reb Chiya, it's like Reb Chiya taught in Braisa, al ha-koimer shal zesim, that this deal is going to be made for a koimer of zesim, which means for a vat of olives that has already started heating up, warming up, and getting ripened. Hachanami, so over here, al ha-koimer shal anavim, we're talking about a vat of grapes, it's not just a regular avit shal anavim, it's a vat which is a koimer, it already started warming up, and therefore it's only three things. Asking more about Mechusri Tlas, we're still missing three things. And according to Rav, it's only allowed to be two things. And the answer is, Ba'asada, who does oven, who did nagid? We're talking about a place that the guy who buys it, he's the one that draws the wine off into Kalim, and therefore it's only missing two things. And that's we're allowed to make this deal. We continue on Matan Shalzesim, on a vat of olives, we're allowed to make this deal. As the Gemara, Mechusri Michmar, it's missing ripening, again, this heating up process, Viulabe Dapi, and bring it to the oil press, Ulamedesh, and to press it, Ulamingut, and to draw it off of the Kalim. And so the Gemara answers, Tan Reb Chiya, this is where Reb Chiya said his brisa, al kaimer shel zeisim, we're referring to a vat of olives which already started warming up and heating up. Asking, well, ikatlas, we're still missing three things. And the answer is ba'aser dehudas oven, humangid, we're talking about a place where the person who bought it, he's the one that draws it off into kalim, so the seller is only missing two things. Continuing, we said about beitzim shel yotzer, he's going to make this deal with the yotzer, with the potter. This is the guy who makes earthenware pots, even though all he has is beitzim, egg-shaped balls of clay, and the deal is that fully made pots are going to be delivered. The Gemara asks, amai, why is this so? V'amuchas l'fufe, it's missing shaping, v'yavushe, and then it has to dry out, yulatuna, it has to be put into the oven or the kiln, l'misrif ulmepek, and it has to be burned or fired up and then taken out. So there's a whole bunch of things that are missing. And the Gemara answers, gandim lafa v'yavishu, we're talking about where you had already shaped the clay and it had dried out. Ask more, v'ikatlas, we still are missing three things. And the answer is, ba'asad hudas oven, hudamapek, we're talking about a place where the person who bought the pots, he's the one that has to take them out of the oven, so therefore it's only missing two things. The next case of the Mishnah was, ba'asun mishia shaken v'kivshon, we're talking about lime, it's from when he put it into the oven, and this is part of the process of making lime. Ask more, v'amuchas or mikla, it's missing burning, v'afuke, taking it out, umeduk, and crumbling it. So it's missing three things. Question Arav. And the answer is, ba'asad hudas oven, hudayek, we're talking about a place where the person who bought it, he's the one that crumbles it, so it's only missing two things. I, what about ul shmul de amr bidei adam, afilu mea paisek? According to Shmuel, holds that if the things that are missing are able to be done by person, by human, so then even if there's 100 things that are missing, he can make this deal. Why is it the Mishnah says he's only allowed to make this deal if it's already been put into the oven? Even if it hasn't been put into the oven, he should be allowed to make this deal. I think my answer is, you're right, Emo. What we should really say in the Mishnah, according to Shmuel, is Misheroy l'shaka b'kivshon, when he's able to put it into the oven. In other words, as long as he has all the materials and he could put it into the oven, so he's already allowed to make this psika deal now. Continue to discuss one of the cases, Val Beitzim Shel Yotzer, he's allowed to make this deal with the Yotzer, the potter that makes earthenware pots, as long as he has these balls of clay that he makes the pots out of. And now, Tanur Ban, we have a brayso. Ein paskim al beitzim shel yotzer ad sheyasu divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says the deal is not allowed to be made with this potter until the balls themselves are actually formed, meaning he has to have the clay formed into balls from which he's going to make the pots out of in order to be able to make this deal. However, Rav Meir says, "Bemez Ramru, when was it said ba'afer lavan?" That's only when we're talking about white earth or white clay. Aval ba'afer shachar, when we're talking about dark clay, kigan kvar chanan v'chavrisel, kvar shichin v'chavrisel, v'kvar chanan and kvar shichin in the areas around them, paiskin, one could make this deal. Aval b'shein lozeh yesh lozeh, even though this potter who's making the deal doesn't have any clay balls, another guy has it because this dark clay is very easily obtainable and therefore it's considered like he has it. Now we have a story. Amemer Yav Zuzi Mechima Ayla Afra. Amemer would only give money, meaning he would only make this deal once the potter actually had the clay. Ask the Gemara, come on, who's this like? Iker Amemer, if you want to say it's like Amemer, Ha'amar Acheyasu. He says it has to be that the balls are actually formed, not just that the potter has the clay. And Iker Abiesi, if you want to say Amemer holds like Abiesi, Ha'amar Alpha Bisha Enlaze Yesh Laze, Abiesi holds that even though the potter doesn't even have the clay at all, a different guy has it. So where's Abiesi come from that he only made this deal if the potter had the clay, even though it wasn't formed to balls yet? And the answer is, Lank Rabiesi, really holds like Rabiesi, Uba Asrida Amemar, but in the area of Amemar, Ashek Afra, this clay was very expensive and hard to come by, and therefore, in the Ma'ali Afra, if the potter actually had the clay in stock, some Chadaite, so there's just Michas Das, everyone's relying on the deal here, V'yavil Huzuzi, and he'd give the money, V'loy, but if the potter didn't actually have the clay in stock, Loy Sam Chadaite, so there's no Smichas Das, and that's why he wouldn't give him the money. And continuing with the last case of the Mishnah, we had said, and this was a three-way machlekes in regards to making psika for Zevel for fertilizer. The Tanakhama said this deal is allowed to be done all year round, because Zevel fertilizer, in large part, is made from animal manure, and animals make droppings all year, so therefore one's allowed to make his psika all year. Rabbi Yossi says one is never allowed to do so, and the Chachamim seem to repeat what the Tanakhama is saying by saying one is allowed to do so, and that's what the Gemara asks. Chacham haim Tanakhama. The Chacham seem to be saying the same exact thing as Tanakhama. What's the difference? And the Gemara answers, Amar Rava. Rava tells us, Ein dalam beis on top, you might hagushon make a benayu. The difference is the winter. The Tanakhama holds that all year round one is allowed to be pasuk for zevel because it's always available. Rabbi Yossi argues that one is never allowed to be pasuk for zevel because it's not something that's usually for sale, and the Chachamim are midline. During the summer, it's okay to be pasuk because zevel is readily available and had the entire winter to become compost, but in the wintertime in the Mesek HaShomim, there's no Zevel available, so no being Paisek, and that's what the Chomim hold. And we can explain the Mishnah, we had said that when someone makes this Psik Al Peres deal, the buyer has to be Paisek with the seller Kishar Gvaya, which we had explained means the best price. In other words, up until now, we've only been discussing, let's say the price goes up, that means the seller is going to be giving the buyer more than what he paid for, and that's an issue of Ribbis. But what about if the price goes down? Does the buyer have the right to say, give me more or give me my money back? And that's what the Mishnah was saying, that he has to be Paisek with him Kishar Gvaya. It has to be a very clear stipulation before they get involved in this deal that if the price goes down, either you give me more of the produce or you give my money back. And now we have a story about this. We got there was a fellow, Diyav Zuzal Nadunya de Bechamua. He was given money by his father-in-law for the Nadunya, which basically means for his wife's jewelry, meaning his father-in-law gave him money to go buy his wife jewelry, and he made a deal with the jeweler, giving him the money now, expecting to get the jewelry later on. And so this is a Psik Al Peres deal. And what happened is on Nadunya, the value of the jewelry went down. And by the time he was going to receive it, he could have actually gotten it for cheaper, and he wanted to back out of the deal. Also, Commander Papa, the Kim Papa, Amrullah, he told him, if you made a clear stipulation that you're going to get the best price possible, shakal kahashta, so then you get the price that it is now. out, which is lower than what you originally agreed upon. But if you didn't originally agree that you're going to get the cheaper price, shakal ki mei kara, so then you have to pay the original price you agreed on, and it's your loss. Really? Even if he didn't make the stipulation that he gets the cheaper price, he has to pay the original more expensive price? The only thing he did was give money. He paid for the jewelry before he received it. And money doesn't create an official kenyan. Only Mashicha does. So why can't he back out? I'm only talking about getting a mishapara. In other words, if they agree that when the price goes down, the buyer, which is the son-in-law, gets the lower price, if the seller backs out, then the meicher would get a mishapara. And if they didn't make the stipulation originally, and lekech decides to back out, so lekech gets a mishapara. And that's all I was saying, says Rapapa. Now, Ravina asks Rapapa, who says that this opinion is according to the Rabbanon who argue with Rab Shimon? The Rabbanon say, that when a person only pays money, didn't make a mishicha on the item, that's not an official kenyan for him. And nonetheless, only if he made this stipulation that he gets the cheaper price, so he gets the current cheaper price. And if he didn't make this stipulation, he has to pay the original higher price. Maybe this whole discussion is in Shitas Rab Shimon, who holds that money does create an official kenyan even without a mishicha on the item. And it's only in Shitas Rab Shimon that we say, that when they make the stipulation that he's going to get the cheaper price, shakal ki hashta, so then he gets to pay the price that it is now, again, which is less expensive. And Eloi Pasak, if they didn't make the stipulation, shakal ki mei kara, he has to pay the original price, mishum dekanil huzuzi, that's because his money acquired the item for him, because again, the Shitas Rab Shimon, aval Rabbanon, but if we were having this whole discussion in Shitas Rabbanon, bein pasak, bein loi pasak, shakal ki hashta, it wouldn't make a difference if they did or did not make the stipulation that he gets the cheaper price. He still gets to pay the less expensive price. Why would that be? Because when a person gets involved in such a deal, it's an understood thing that if the price goes down, that's when he's going to pay, and not the more expensive price. And maybe that's actually the halacha. Amrleis, our papa responds to Ravina, Emer da Amr Reb Shimon b'chatara. Maybe Reb Shimon only says that mice are kainais if we're talking about one price, meaning an item that he doesn't think the price is going to change. But betray tar mi Amar, who says Reb Papa himself holds that mice are kainais when we're talking about something that has two prices, meaning when we're dealing with an item that the guy himself knows is probably going to go up and down in price. Perhaps Reb Papa agrees to the Rabbanan that mice is not kainais there. If you don't say that, if you hold that Reb Shimon says that anytime a person pays money, even though he didn't do a mashicha, he's always kind of the item, well then mishapara b'lekeach Reb Shimon lesley. That means Reb Shimon holds that a lekeach can never be either mishapara. And why would that be? Well, because a mishapara can only be applied if halachically one is allowed to back out of the deal, it's just that morally he shouldn't. And therefore, if according to Reb Shimon, mice are always kainos, then the buyer's always halachically chayev to pay and never has the opportunity of mishapara. And v'chitem hachinam, if you're going to say, yeah, that's true, the only one that can be either mishapara according to Reb Shimon is the meicher, not lekeach. Well, that can't be either, because Batan, you have a brisa that says, mikol makom kach halacha, either which way this is the halacha, aval amru cham, the cham said, mishapara v'chulu, that a person who backs in a deal is going to get a mishapara. And now we analyze this brisa, my mikol makom. What does this brisa mean to say, mikol makom? Lav de loishna lekeach, loishna meicher, mikabal le mishapara? Doesn't mean to say that it doesn't make a difference who backs out. Lekeach or the meicher, he gets a mishapara. And so we clearly can't explain this in Shitas Reb Shimon, el rather, must be, kika amr Reb Shimon, when did Reb Shimon say that mice are kainos and the lekeach can't back out of the deal? B'chad tara. That's only when we're dealing with something that has one price, which again means he doesn't think the price is going to go down. It has one stable value, and therefore when he pays his money, even though he didn't get the item yet, there's automatically a kenyan. However, betray tari loy amar with something that has two prices, meaning he knows the price is going to fluctuate, even Reb Shimon holds that mice is not kainos. Now we just have one more question on this. Why don't we say that the son-in-law who wanted to back out of the deal is not going to be over anything, he's not going to get a mishapara, because he was just made a shliach by his father-in-law. His father-in-law gave him money to go work out the jewelry. So if the shliach backs out, he doesn't get a mishapara. Amarle, he answered, we can't say that either. We're talking about where the son-in-law himself was a merchant who buys and sells. So he wasn't a shliach of his father-in-law. His father-in-law actually paid him for the jewelry, and now it's just his job as the middleman or as the merchant to go find the jewelry from a good supplier. And that's why if the son-in-law wants to back out, he would be getting a mishapara, and this has nothing to do with the father-in-law. And on the new Mishnah, over here, we're going to be touching on the topic of sa b'sa, which we've had previously, and the idea is a sa of grain, for example, is not allowed to be lent in order to receive back a sa of grain, even though this might seem like an even trade, a sa for a sa. The problem is, if by the time the sa is being paid back, it went up in value, so that means that more is being paid back than what was borrowed, and that would be an issue of ribbis. As Mishnah tells us, Mav Adam Sarisa Chitim Chitin, a person is allowed to lend his sharecroppers wheat for wheat. The sharecropper is the guy who's taking care of the field for the owner, and the owner takes some of the profits, and the sharecropper takes some of the profits, and usually the aris, the sharecropper, is the guy that provides the seed with which to plant the field. Or if he doesn't have it, the owner of the field can lend him that seed, and it's going to be paid back once the new crop grows. This is permitted, that's what the Mishnah just said. However, that's only Lazera, if he's lending him the seed for planting. planting, avoloi lechol, but not if he's lending him the seed to eat it, because that would be a classic case of saw b'saw. And where do we see this? Rabbi Gamliel, mavas arisa v'chitin v'chitin lezera. Rabbi Gamliel would lend his sharecroppers wheat for wheat if they were only using that seed for planting. And he made the following stipulation: biyarker v'huzlu, oy b'zayl v'hukru. If when he gave them the seed, it was very expensive and then went down in price, or if when he gave it to them, it was cheap and went up in price by the time they were paying him back, he always took repayment based off of the lower price. Not because that's a halacha, he wanted to be machmer on himself, so there shouldn't even be a little bit of maybe ribbis here. Because again, as we said in the beginning of the Mishnah, as long as it's chitin for chitin, as long as a seed is being lent for planting, it's allowed to be repaid even if the value went up or down. I think we're now tells us a ton of we have a brisa, malva adam is arisa chitin v'chitin lezera. A person's allowed to lend his aris, his sharecropper, wheat for wheat, as long as he's using that for planting. But now the brisa adds something that the Mishnah did not say. When was it said the chitim is allowed to be lent for chitim? Shelo yarad. That's only if the sharecropper didn't go to the field and start working it yet. Avol yard, but if he already started working it, usser. So then this deal is usser. So we ask, Maishna tana idan, deloy kamiflik ben yard ben lo yarad, umaishna tana bara, de kamiflik ben yard ben lo yarad. Why is it that our tana didn't differentiate between whether or not the sharecropper started working? Whereas the tana of the brisa made a differentiation. In other words, it seems to be there's a machlaikis between our tana and the tana of the brisa. Our tana holds that even if the sharecropper had already started working the field, he could call up the owner and say, hey, I realize I don't have any seed. Can you lend me chitim for chitim? Whereas according to the Tana of the Braisa, this is not allowed to be done unless this was stipulated before he started working the land. What's the difference between the two Tanaim? And we're going to see the whole issue over here is ribbis. What's a potential problem? So when the artist borrows these seeds from the owner, he's taking less of a cut, less of a profit from the field, which means he's basically paying the owner of the field more than usual. And that seems to be because of the saw b'saw loan that he's taking. And that's a problem of ribbis. And so here we explain what the difference between the two Tanaim is, why one holds as a problem and one holds as not a problem. Rava says, Rav Idi Asbar Niali, Rav Idi explained it to me, in the locale, in the area of our Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, that says it doesn't make a difference whether or not he went into the land, whether or not he started working it. That's because of Risa Yav Bizra. The minig is that the sharecropper is the one who has to supply the seed. And therefore, Ben Yard Ben Loyarad, whether or not he started working the field, Kama de Loyav Bizra, as long as he hasn't shown up with the actual seed that he's planting, Mati Masalkle, the owner can get rid of him and say, you want to know what? I don't want you to be my Aris. And therefore, Chi Kanaches, when they actually agree on a deal and then he goes into the field with the permission of the owner, Labatim Rachik Kanaches, this is ready after the fact. This is ready after he borrowed seed from the owner. And I mean, this entire discussion of him borrowing the seed from the owner took place before the official deal of him being an Aris kicked in. And that means that when he borrowed the seed for the field, it's not looked at like a loan. It's looked at as part of the sharecropping agreement. It's not separate from the usual Aris agreement. It's part of the whole contract that an Aris and a Baal Bayis get into. It happens to be that this one's slightly different because he's borrowing the seed as opposed to supplying it himself. But again, it doesn't look like a loan because it all happened before he halachically was allowed to go into the field and start working it. However, Ba'asu de Tana Barah, in the locale in the area of the other Tana, the Tana of the Braisa, Mari Ariyah of Bizra, the owner of the land is the one who has to provide the seed, and therefore it makes a difference. Ela Yarad, if the sharecropper hadn't gone down to the field and started working it yet, Demati Masal Kalei, that means there hasn't been an official sharecropping agreement yet, and the Baal Bayis could get rid of him, and it's at this point in time that they arranged this deal that the sharecropper actually has to borrow the seeds. So Kikonaches, when he's going into the field afterwards, Labasar Mahaki Kanaches, he's going in after they already made this arrangement, and again, it's considered part of the sharecropping arrangement, and it's not looked at like a loan. However, Iyarad, if the sharecropper already went into the land and started working it, in this situation, the Baal Bayis is not allowed to get rid of him because there's already an agreement and understanding between the two that the Aris works and the Baal Bayis provides the seeds. So in Asr, it's Asr to make this arrangement because now it looks like a loan, which is separate from the sharecropping agreement. As we said, this is a problem of ribbis. And the Gemara continues on our bottom of Yerbaisa, I'm Rabban Mechaveh, a person can tell his friend, Ayin Ahilam Ralph on the top, Alveni Kor Chitin, lend me a kor of wheat, because it's like Damim, and he sets a price, whatever the value of the wheat is at a current point in time when he's borrowing it, and therefore Huzl, if it goes down in price, Noisin Lechitim, he gives him the wheat that he borrowed, Hukru, if it goes up in value, Noisin Demehem, he just pays the original value they agreed upon. The Gemara on the Reshavah, like Katzatz, they set a price. Why is it that if the price of wheat went down, by the time he's returning the car that he borrowed, he's allowed to give back just a car of wheat? It turns out that he's giving back less than he borrowed, and they had already set a price. As we said, because Lechitim, he set a price with him that I'm going to pay you back wheat worth exactly this amount of money. So he should have to pay the value of the wheat that he borrowed and not just be able to give back a car. So Rav Sheshes answers, you're right, Hachi Kamar, this is what the Brais is saying. We're missing something. What he really means to say is that if he had set the value of the wheat, so then he has to pay whatever value he borrowed. However, Imloi Katzatz, if when he borrowed the wheat, he didn't set an official price, so then Hozlu, Naitel Chitov, if it went down in value, so then the lender loses out and all he gets back is his wheat, which is now worth less, whereas Hukru, if it went up in value, then Naisin Dmeim, the person pays their value, so that it shouldn't be an issue of ribbis. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow with the Mishnah, which is the source for the Isser of Chitim B'Chitim. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.